Hello, welcome to another episode of Launch Pod, the Launchpad Team podcast. I'm Matthew Ravel, and I'm here today with...
Graham Binns.
And we are actually physically in the same location. We're not Skyping today because we are in...
Manchester Piccadilly Railway Station.
Yeah, look at the glamour. The glamour that we have as members of the Launchpad Team. We go across the world just to record podcasts for you, and we end up in Manchester Piccadilly Station. Looking at people getting their trains and drinking coffee and enjoying the indoor pigeons, which is always good. So, in this episode, we will be talking about various things, including, well, Graham, give us a rundown of what we're talking about.
So, today we're going to be talking about the new features that turned up in Launchpad 2.2.3. So, we've got, from the top of my head, official bug tags, the new bug activity log. We're talking about importing translations from bazaar branches, multiple PPAs per person or team.
Yeah, and also talk about the bazaar imports, well, sorry, translation template imports from official Project Series bazaar branches will be Henning Eggers on Das Phone from Germany. Okay, so let's get on with the podcast. So, Launchpad 2.2.3, we released it on April the 1st. Now, it wasn't an April Fool's, we have to say. It just worked out the way that it was better to release it on that day because of our 4 weekly cycles, you know. And we had a what we call a week zero, right? Which meant that for the March cycle, we had 5 weeks. A week zero means that we have some downtime in the team where we can get on with other stuff. And it worked out nicely because it helps us to fit in with, well, not have some downtime while the Ubuntu guys are releasing Jaunty and things like that. So, yeah. Anyway, Graham, how you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, Matt.
Good-o. So, 2.2.3. Now, in the release announcement, we focused on the fact that you can import translations now from your Project Series official bazaar branch. Talking to Henning about that later in the podcast, but we also spoke about multiple PPAs. We'll talk about that in a minute. But there were a couple of things that we didn't mention in the release announcement, and that was official project bug tags and a few minor improvements to the interface on bugs and elsewhere. So let's talk about project bug tags. Now, tell us first, Graham, what are project bug tags generally? Forgetting official ones.
Okay, so when you file a bug in Launchpad or when you're working with bugs in Launchpad, you have the opportunity to put tags on it. Now, anybody who's used anything like Delicious or Google Reader will be familiar with the concept of tags. It's just a way of categorizing a particular item, in this case, bugs. So in Launchpad, for example, we have a UI tag. Now, if we apply that to a bug, that means that the bug is a bug in the Launchpad user interface and should be dealt with by somebody who's skilled in working with the UI code.
And that's just something that we've decided to do as a team, use that tag.
Yeah, that's correct. For the Launchpad team, we actually maintained separately a list of tags that were valid for Launchpad bugs. So anybody can use any tag that they want in Launchpad. You can apply them at any time.
And the important thing is that they don't mean anything in Launchpad. They only mean something as agreed amongst the people who are working on that application or that project, sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're entirely arbitrary in what they mean. In actual fact, you'll see users will often tag bugs with tags that they think are relevant. It's then up to the people who maintain the project to decide whether those tags should stay on the bug. Sometimes they're useful, sometimes the tags are just for the original user's personal filing and sorting system, so not always so useful, and that's exactly where official bug tags come in. So the idea behind an official bug tag is that a project maintainer can define a list of tags which are officially going to be used for that project. That way they can maintain a concrete list of all the ones they want to use and essentially ignore all the other ones that are added by other users. Now, that's not to say that they're not important, but if you say file a bug and you tag it with a tag that means something to you but not something to the project, because the project's using official bug tags, they don't have to then go and remove your tag. They just don't have to pay any attention to it, but you can still use it to sort your bugs, which is actually quite a useful feature.
So if you've got a bug that's shared between, say, two projects, then it won't matter because they'll both get their own view of how it relates to their official project bug tags.
Yeah, exactly. So if one project has a UI tag and the other project has a tag that essentially does the same thing but is user-interface, for example, you can tag the bug with both of those. And because the tags are official for different projects, the project will be able to pay attention to its own tag and essentially ignore the other one, which is absolutely fine and dandy if you're trying to work across multiple projects.
Now, something that you worked on with Gavin Pinella was the activity log.
To give it a bit of history, there's always been an activity log on bugs. Well, nearly always anyway. The trouble was that, by and large, it sucked. We didn't record all the relevant information, and we recorded some information that was entirely irrelevant. And a lot of people found the activity log to be awkward to use because of that. So what we've done, first of all, is we've made the activity log complete, so it now tracks all the relevant information. Whenever you make a change to a bug, it will be tracked in the activity log. And we've actually written it in such a way that a developer can't add a feature to bugs without adding a way to handle the activity log, so it can't just be ignored. If you try and do that now, the test suite will raise errors and you'll have to go and fix it, which prevents us from forgetting it again, which is what we did last time. So the other thing that we've done is interleaved bug activity with the comments on a bug page. So you might see a couple of comments from somebody and then see a notification that, say, Graham Binns has changed the status of the bug in Malone from new to triaged. And it's just a way of keeping people up to date with how the bug has progressed over time. It's a nice way to look at the bug and see how it's changed since it was first filed, who's done what to it, and we're actually going to be doing some further work to improve it for Launchpad 2.2.4 so that changes that are made with a comment will be merged with that comment. So you'll see the comment and then the changes in the footer, and that is a nice way to group everything together. It was one of those things to implement. It was actually quite a big job, so that's why unfortunately the work ran over a bit to 2.2.4. But in the end, it's been very useful. We've had a lot of very good feedback from the community about it.
Yeah, it looks really good. I can already see that when you're looking through a bug's comment history, it's really useful to see who did what and where. So yeah, nice one. Okay, what else was new? Now, something else that was new in 2.2.3 was multiple PPAs per team or person. This is something that the Sawyers guys introduced, and I suppose you could ask, why would you want multiple PPAs per personal team? But then when I started to think about it, I kind of came up with some ideas of why people might want to, and I think this relates fairly well to the general use cases that the Sawyers guys had in mind. And that's that, say, for example, I was writing an audio editor and had that on Launchpad. I might want to release an alpha version to a select group of testers through a PPA at the same time as releasing beta and production versions or whatever. So it'd be useful to have three PPAs to handle that, you know. Can you see many people making use of this?
Actually, yes. You find a lot of projects, Bazaar is one of them, where there are a number of PPAs for the project, but because of the way that PPAs worked originally, they're actually split across two or three different teams. They don't need to be logically, but it's just because of the way that Launchpad did PPAs before that it's had to be done. So, as I said, Bazaar is a case in point where you have the nightly build, which is released daily and contains all the fixes from that day. You have the beta build, which is slightly behind the nightly build. I'm not sure how often that's updated. And then you have, obviously, the regular, the PPA, which is the released versions. And then besides that, you have whatever's in the Ubuntu archives. Now, if the Bazaar project then combines those into three PPAs under one team, first of all, it means that people don't have to look in three different places to find the right links to add to their apt sources list. And secondly, it means that one set of people can maintain them without somebody having then to make sure that they have access to all the different teams that manage these PPAs and so on. And it's actually, for the people who manage the PPAs, it makes life a lot easier to have everything in one place. So I do see quite a lot of projects that use Launchpad and PPAs extensively using this, because it's a very good way to put, as you say, alpha, beta and production software out to the users.
Launchpad 2.2.3, all you have to do to use it is go to launchpad.net just like normal. Hi Henning, welcome back to the Launchpad podcast.
Hi, great to be back.
Now, you guys in the translation team introduced a really interesting feature in Launchpad 2.2.3, which I know that already some people have enjoyed using it and have really appreciated that it's come about, and that's translation template imports from bizarre branches. Can you explain a bit more about that, please?
Yeah, that's really a cool thing because it puts two parts of Launchpad together that were previously separate things: the code hosting of bazaar branches and translations. And what you had to do so far is that if you had a translation template in your in your bazaar branch, you would have to download it manually and upload it back to Rosetta to use it for translations. Now this step is automated, so you can actually configure your branch in a way that Rosetta will pick up the translation templates from the branch and import them automatically, so that they can use for translations without you having to upload or download anything. So that's the big step ahead. And whenever you update your branch and update that template in the branch, it will be updated in your your translations template as well, that you see in the web UI. So you keep those synchronized.
Right. So in Launchpad, you can have a separate translations effort for each series of your project, and you can also set a default bazaar branch or an official bazaar branch for each series in your project. So if you've got, say, you're working on version 2.0 of your project at the same time as having, say, a trunk daily development series, you can have translations imports from a bazaar branch for each series, right?
Just you can link a branch to each series. There's also a separate translation or a set of translations for each series, and each can have their own import automated import configured. So yes, that's completely separate. So that when you branch off, you always have to branch off translations as well, because there may be different strings in the branched versions that you don't want to cannot translate together with the others. So that's possible, yeah. And that's
all right,
that's
cool.
Intended as well.
And another interesting part of this is that more templates can be approved automatically this way. Why is that?
Well, the thing is that we have having the branch and knowing how the template relates to other files within the branch, because we have the whole branch before us, we can more easily auto-approve those and see that they what the translation domain is and what the name of the template should be, because we know what the directory is that it's in and things like that, and we can check for ambiguousness with other templates that may be in the maybe in the branch. So we can check all this because we have the whole branch before us, and also we can see because it's versioned, it's not just a whole directory of files, it's also versioned, so we can also see what's changed and only upload those. So we have all this information, so that makes the approval and the upload much easier.
So this is obviously a much easier way of handling imports from of translation templates, but if anyone has a project and they don't use Bazaar to host their code on Launchpad, but they do use translations, they'll still have to do it the old way.
No, not necessarily. If they are willing to mirror their external code repository to the Bazaar branches on Launchpad, they can use that in the same way. So, As you may know, code hosting on Launchpad also enables a mirroring of external revision systems that you have, like an external subversion repository or anything, and you can mirror those into bazaar branches, and then those will get picked up just like native bazaar branches would. So that would work just the same way.
All right. Okay.
So just to wrap up, if I wanted to enable this for my project, what would I have to do?
There's actually just two steps you have to take. One thing, you have to configure a branch, link a branch to your release series for your product. So usually it's trunk, and then you, and when you go there, there's an option to link a branch to that. Once, so then you pick the branch that you pushed earlier, and in this way link a release series and branch. So that's the one thing you have to do, so that we know from where to import. And then there's another option when you go to the translations tab for that release series, where you can just we just have to select to import to import, start importing the templates. So right now this is just the option to not import or to import templates. In the future, actually with the next cycle, I'm working on that right now, you will also be able to import the actual translation files apart from the templates. So that will be another option there that you can choose. And whenever you activate that, it will also trigger a complete import of all translation templates that are in that are in the branch. So it doesn't need an extra push of the branch to trigger the next upload as it usually does, but you will get an import immediately once you activate that option. So that's the two steps: link a branch and activate the imports for that branch, and you will get all the templates in the translations section of your product series.
Great, Henning. That's brilliant. It sounds like the sort of feature that make using translations much, much easier. So thanks much.
You're welcome. I enjoy it very much.
Okay, back in the first week of February, we did our first Launchpad Performance Week, and this was interesting because we ratcheted up the timeouts on Launchpad so that basically we in the Launchpad team got warnings on slow pages 5 seconds before we would have done before, which meant that a whole lot of slower pages came into our attention that wouldn't have been beforehand, and so we went ahead and fixed them. And it's April, first week of April, and we are doing that again, but we've shaved 5 seconds off again. Now, Graham, what have people been looking at this week?
Well, we've had quite a few interesting cases this week. We dropped the timeout limit down, so it takes, say, I think 8 seconds rather than 13 seconds for something to time out. I'm just pulling numbers out the top of my head here.
Yeah, I think it's more like 20 seconds, but yeah.
So we've shaved some more time off that, and we've seen a few interesting cases. The first thing that cropped up was actually before we dropped the limits, we actually discovered a bug that we'd inadvertently introduced when we released 2.2.3. That essentially meant we were doing two database queries when we should be doing one every time we retrieved a person's details from the database. So we fixed that straight away. We've also come up with a number of issues for the bug tracker. Certain pages were trying to load all the milestones ever in the history of Launchpad. When you were trying to do an advanced search for bugs. Now, all the milestones ever is quite a big list, and it's now got to the point where it was starting to time out when we loaded it, so we've managed to fix that fairly quickly. And there's a couple of ongoing things as well with loading the subscriber lists on bug pages that are particularly heavily trafficked, and some of my colleagues on the bugs team are dealing with that at the moment.
Cool. Okay. Well, we'll have more about Launchpad Performance Week on blog.launchpad.net as the week goes on. And if you've got any questions about what we're working on, then feedback@launchpad.net.
Thanks very much for listening to another episode of the Launchpad Podcast. I'm Graham Binns, and I've been sharing the duties at the mic today with Matt Revell. We'll be back at some point in the future with more information about Launchpad and the cool new features that you can expect in the next release of Launchpad, which will be at the end of April, I believe, Matt.
Yep, 29th of April.
So we hope to talk to you before then.